7, entitled The Prophet of B.T. Worship, text 21. Tad aste vaya janam Dravyani atmaname vacha Ruksha patrani tunya adbis Taste dravyas chasadayet Tad arpidevaya janam Dravyani atmaname vacha Proksha patrani tviniya advis Taistai dravyas chasadayet
of the vessel for sprinkling. Adhi with the water. Devaya janam, the place where the deities worship. Dravyani, the paraphernalia. Admanam, one's own body. Eva, indeed. Cha, also. Prakshya, sprinkling. Patrani, the vessel. Trini, three. Adhi, with water. Tai, with those available. Travyai, auspicious items. Cha, and Sadayet. He should arrange. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Then with the water of that Prakshyanya vessel, he should sprinkle the area where the deity is being worshipped, the offerings that are going to be presented, and his own body. Next, he should decorate with various auspicious substances, three vessels filled with water. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami gives references from Vedic literature stating that the water meant for bathing the feet should be combined with millet seeds, duva grass mixed in water, Vishnu Kranta flowers, and other items. The water used for agya should include the following 8 items: fragrant oil, flowers, unbroken barleycorns, husked barleycorns,
the tips of kusha grass, sesame seeds, mustard seeds, and durva grass. The water for sipping should include jasmine flowers, ground cloves, and kakola berries. Om Agnyanati Mirandasya Agnyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramini Tanyena Tasmaya Shri Gurudeva Namaha. Mukham Karoti Vashlam Pangul Mangayate Girinyat Kripati Maham Bande Shri Gurudeva Charinam. Vanchaka Pratru Vishra Kripa Sindhu Vyayva Chapati Tanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we continue with the process of deity worship that is being explained by Krishna to Uddhava. And most of these points outlined, of course, are very important, especially for us who are trying to become more regulated, who are trying to maintain a sattva-gun lifestyle, rising early and worshipping the deity of Krishna. So here the past few texts and the next till the end of the chapter are explaining elaborately different items that one should use when worshipping the deity form of the Lord. So Krishna in his deity form, in his Archa-Vigraha form, it's Krishna basically has incarnated in that form, just as we have the different incarnations of Krishna, Krishna's guna avatars, Krishna's lila avatars, Krishna's shakti avish avatars. So Krishna comes in his deity form as well, to establish proper religious principles and worship to him as supreme. So this deity worship process is very authorized from the different parts of the Veda, the Rig Veda as well, different mantras. Narada Muni himself wrote the Panchavashika process of deity worship. So this process of deity worship is very much authorized. Even though in Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is Harinam Sankirtan, Srila Prabhupada has engaged us in deity worship, or he has established deity worship to actually give us something to do, to engage us in some service. Because yes, the Yuga Dharma is chanting Hare Krishna, but understanding that we're still not pure enough, so we need to get purified. So when you put someone at the center, when we gradually start understanding that our false ego is not the most important thing in existence, that Krishna, the Supreme Person, as Brahma is stating in Brahma Samhita, Ishvaraha Parama Krishna, that the Supreme Controller, the Supreme Lord is Krishna. So Lord Brahma has stated it, and therefore when we attempt or when we endeavor through the nine processes of devotional service to serve Him, then we get off this false ego platform. We get off functioning under the modes of material nature, the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So when we're worshipping Krishna, whether it's worshipping Krishna through our mind by studying his incarnation Srimad Bhagavatam, or by chanting his holy names, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Krishna deserves the best. And as we see with deity worship, who can remember which age was deity worship the Yuga Dharma?
Deity worship?
Yep. Dwapara Yuga. So the age before us, before Kali Yuga. So that was the Yuga Dharma. So there was elaborate deity worship. And I'm not just speaking about, 2 liters of ghee or, using copper. Everything was gold. Everything was just in large, munificent quantities. And this was, of course, as we heard the other day in class, sometimes you see the deities covered by so much jewels, so many jewels, so much opulence. Like Krishna, you just see Krishna's face, or you just see Radharani's face. There was so much opulence. offering sacred items like honey, ghee, fragrant oils, fragrant flowers, everything in abundance. So everything for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. He is the one who is the recipient of all these sacrifices that we perform. He is Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam. He is Vishnu himself. He is the one who accepts all these different offerings, all the different sacrifices that we offer him. So when we offer the Supreme Lord items, of course they have to be the purest items. They have to be extremely sanctified items for his pleasure. Although right now we're also being engaged in deity worship, and we offer Krishna, we try and offer Krishna the best items for his worship. So for that we also have to purify ourselves. So the previous verse is speaking about how those who are engaged in the process of deity worship, not necessarily just dressing the deity of Krishna, but different activities around the temples are for the pleasure of Krishna. So wherever we go around the ISKCON temples, we hear in the morning how the devotees read out different activities that they have done for the pleasure of the deities. So in Krishna Balaram Mandir, what's his name, Prabhu? The vice TP, or Janard, what's his name? Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. Yeah, the Asian. Junat, yeah, anyway. So every morning he reads out this verse for Krishna Balaram, Lalita Vishaka, Sisi Vara Samar Sundara, and Sisi Gorani Thai. So it's all, everything that we do is meant for the pleasure of the deities. So we don't necessarily have to be on that platform to perform deity worship. We don't necessarily have to wait to receive Brahminical initiation to become keen in our habits. Right, it's not that only the pujaris have to attend Mangal Arati, then everyone else comes later because they're not Brahmins. It's not that only the pujaris have to take bath in the morning and rise early, or they have to try and chant as attentively as possible because they're going to worship Krishna. No, everyone has to perform those activities. We all have to be clean in our habits, internally and externally. So deity worship, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that this will elevate us, this will encourage us to become more clean in our habits. And when we act like that, we develop brahminical qualities, we develop regulation in our everyday activities. So whatever it is that we're doing is meant for the pleasure of Krishna. So it might be doing sankirtan, it might be doing prasadam distribution at crossways, it might be doing so many things. And in the morning, we all here for the pleasure of the Lordship, Shishi Gornitai, Shishi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Shishi Vada Vallabha. So it's meant to make them happy. And they reciprocate. It's not that the deity is stone or wood or just brass and metal. We all have that feeling. We all have the experience with the deities, in varying degrees, in different ways. So Krishna reciprocates because he's the proprietor, he's the maintainer of this temple, he's the maintainer of every single activity that we perform. So it's not that in devotional service, you know, we're just kind of doing our thing and Krishna's just there to pacify us, that there's a Supreme Lord watching over us, he's surveying everything that we do, and yes, we're doing our best. No, he's arranging every single activity. This is not a normal house. This is not a normal place where you have some marble and where you have some very beautiful chandeliers. No, this is Krishna's abode. So everything that we do, we try and have it the best quality. So here it's explaining how we're offering different types of water, different flowers, fragrant flowers. And you'll always hear Chintra Pramadaji explaining that the deities should be offered fragrant flowers. They should be fragrant. Not just any old, crusty, dry leaf or whatever, but it should have some fragrance because that is pleasing to Krishna. Krishna deserves the best. This is deity worship. It puts Krishna in the center and makes us you know, take our devotion to another level. Because we can see Krishna is there and Krishna gets pleasure. Never do we see any time in the morning when the curtain opens, do we see Krishna, you know, with, you know, a sad face. And, you
know, fried because he got, you know, he didn't get jasmine, he got like a carny and it wasn't his favorite color, and Krishna's all depressed.
You know, every morning we see Krishna, the curtain's open, he's like, bing! You know, beautiful smile, because he's very happy, he's very impressed with how we're keeping a standard of pleasing him in his deity form. How we're continuing distributing books that are speaking about his activities. How we're continuing to chant his names on the streets of Melbourne. How we continue to maintain his temple with the best standards, you know, the best person, cooking for Krishna, chanting for Krishna, preaching for Krishna. So that's establishing Krishna as the center and trying to offer him the best type of service. So this gradually elevates our consciousness as well. We're not just trying to be mediocre, or we're not just trying to be flimsy or whimsical, but we're trying to be the topmost devotee. And when you endeavor like that, all the time you think, I'm just always falling short. And naturally you'll want to try again to please Krishna better. That is the game. That is the game plan in bhakti. That no matter how hard you think you've done your best, you'll always feel in your heart, I can do more for Krishna. It is always a transcendental, you know, relationship with Krishna. You know, just yesterday, I spaced out and I was on the altar and I took the wrong dress. And this is, you know, Krishna just having fun. So it's 6 o'clock and I'm still convinced that I'm doing the right thing. Right, Krishna's in front of me, I'm looking around and I'm seeing brown everywhere. And I took the set that they're wearing today. Right, so brown, pink, yellow, green, that's just vast difference. I mean, it's so obvious, Swaroop, hello, wake up. And I'm busy doing my thing. And then for some reason I'm looking at Bhakti and I look at Sri Yashoda, and Sri Yashoda looks at me and she kind of waves. And I'm like, yeah, that's a nice, that was the night set, yeah? So what are you trying to say? And I was thinking, no, that's not the night set. This is what Krishna is supposed to be wearing now. And I'm like, oh, okay, I understand. And at that minute I just looked at Krishna and I was like, oh, Krishna, it's 6 o'clock. I'm going to be late. So I rush once again and I'm thinking, okay, Krishna, it's for your pleasure. I'm going to change everything again, then come back. And before that, I couldn't find Radharani's lotus in her hand. Right, I freaked out. I ran off the altar, like, but I can't find the lotus. And that lotus Srila Prabhupada put in her hand. So I was about to like go jump in the air or something. Like, I think if we lose this, this is big offense. So I was thinking, oh my, what is going to happen to me? I couldn't find it, and I was looking everywhere, could not find it. And then I find it on her ponytail. It was just like hanging on her ponytail. And I just looked at them and I said, yes, Krishna, I will try and do my best to serve you. So all these different things that happen, or when you become inattentive and you just kind of prick yourself with a pin, or so many different things, that every single day we see Krishna having fun reciprocating with his devotees. He's not just standing there freezing or hot on the altar. Like, he's orchestrating so many different things. He wants us to do the best. He wants us to be attentive in his service. So whether it's making garlands or doing whatever service that is pleasing to them, we try and do it with the best attention. It's not that Krishna really is desperate to have someone serve him. But Krishna has hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis who can serve him. And Krishna comes in his deity form, in his merciful form, to say, I want to accept something from you. It is for your benefit that, you know, you're worshipping me in my deity form. So we have to do it right. We have to do it properly. And therefore we have guidelines. We're told what type of items we should offer Krishna. You don't just wake up one day and feel like, yeah, today we're going to, you know, put a little bit of rose water, get a little bit of ghee and honey, and it's all great. And then tomorrow I'll just use plain water. You know, I woke up late and... No, we're not like that. So we have the guidelines, we have manuals, we have devotees teaching us how to properly please Krishna in his incarnation, in his deity form. And we have manuals how to please Krishna when we cook for him, when we make garlands for him, when we manage his temple, trying to organize devotees nicely so that they're engaged in devotional service. Trying to do all these things so that at the end of the day, Krishna is pleased. Not that we want to become pleased, but that Krishna is pleased. So our entire consciousness has to change, our entire mindset changes, because we're doing everything for Krishna. If we didn't have the deity form and we'd come every day and chant and dance, you know, it'll be a bit difficult. This happened once when I was staying at the Durban Temple in South Africa and we're getting the new altar done. The deities were moved upstairs to one, it was called Prabhupada's house. And in the main temple, it was a big temple room, you know, the altar was just empty. Right, everything, all the marble was taken out, everything was completely revamped. But you still had some people, you know, and you could feel that there wasn't presence of Krishna there. It was just so cold and, you know, we were chanting in there in the morning, but no one really wanted to chant in there because Krishna wasn't there. So it was hard. And sometimes you'd see people coming in and offering their obeisances to an empty altar. You know, that was quite interesting. I was thinking, it's black, it's smoky, what are you offering obeisances, you know, what's going on? And people would come, you know, like outside, like non-devotees, you know, they just come over to the temple and touch the floor and look and walk out. And I was thinking, and we'd walk in the morning and we're like, doing Tulsi Puja, where's Krishna? So without us actually having that vision, that having to look at the Achavigraha form of Krishna, it becomes really difficult. And go, who am I doing this for? Why am I doing it? Because we're very used to visuals. Right, we're so conditioned to seeing all the time. So we need to see Krishna's form also so that our eyesight becomes purified. We become attracted to seeing Krishna's form. Just as Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they curse the creator for having given eyelids because for a blink of a second, they can't see Krishna. Just for a blink, they curse the creator. They're like, how can you create eyelids? You can't see Krishna for these few moments. So this gift of sight is very beneficial because we can focus our eyesight on seeing the form of Krishna. So I shall stop here and ask if there's any comments or questions on the process of deity worship. Ms. Foreman. Like what?
You took the wrong set and I yesterday almost lost the Radharani shoe. Like something like that happens to us. That would mean that does it happen only because we are inattentive, like this is the only reason, or there are other reasons?
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, someone might just lose a shoe. That is because of inattention, or like you're removing the shoes from the altar. You just kind of like just ram them on a tray and just walk out. And you know, oh, it's just Krishna's shoes anyway. So we're not placing importance in Krishna's paraphernalia. So we're inattentive, we're lackadaisical with Krishna's paraphernalia. And we know from Nectar of Devotion, Krishna means Krishna, the holy Dham, the devotees, his paraphernalia. So we also have to be attentive and take care of Krishna's shoes and his bed. You know, these are very, very, you know, these are Krishna's items. So most of the time when something like that happens, it's our inattention. So we really have to learn to focus That's why, you know, when we're doing service, you know, we don't get into the habit of having a long conversation about what happened yesterday and then, you know, yeah, and then, yeah, it's kind of like doing this and then chop your finger off. You know, like you're washing, you drain the water, the shoe goes down the drain. So we really have to focus on whatever service. That's what Krishna is looking for. Krishna is looking for the devotion, not, you know, anything else. He wants that devotion. Krishna can just eat a mango whenever he wants to. He can have pilu fruit whenever he wants to. But he wants us, you know, to offer with devotion. That is the key. So most of the time, my understanding is that when we slack off or when we make mistakes, it's due to our inattention, slight inattention, and we can rectify that by trying to become attentive. So the attention of our service comes from our attentive chanting. Chanting is always linked to everything. All the problems, all the good things are linked to the chanting. And everything can be solved by chanting Hare Krishna and by reading the Bhagavatam. No problem cannot be solved by doing these two things. No problem. Emotional, mental, whatever you call it, it can be solved by the Bhagavatam. That I'm convinced. It never lets me down. No matter how many mental trips I get, or how many emotional trips I get, I just open up a Bhagavatam. My spiritual master told me I should hug the Bhagavatam. No, because I'm not like hug the Bhagavatam, but you know, like really just take shelter of the Bhagavatam. And it will never let you down. Yes, Pete, probably.
How do you know
if
Krishna is pleased or
you're not
pleased
with
yourself?
Is what? How do you know if Krishna is pleased or you're not pleased with yourself? When Krishna is pleased, you'll know from the devotees. Like when the devotees are pleased with your service, when you're, you know, doing so many things and there's natural reciprocation, then the devotees will let you go. Because we can always think I'm doing the right thing, I'm great, I'm doing my service properly, da 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 da. But what are the devotees thinking? Because the devotees, they're the ones that are, you know, we're serving Krishna in their association, we're riding on their blessings, we're riding on their mercy. So when naturally when we do our service properly, when we please Krishna, the devotees can see, oh, this person is doing their service so nicely, they become happy, or this person is taking to the process so sincerely, etc., etc. So our success lies with the devotees. We know that we're pleasing Krishna especially when our seniors are pleased with us. Our temple president, our manager, our spiritual master, when they're pleased, we know that Krishna is pleased. Because we serve Krishna through them. Prabhupada would always say, you know, you're in a specific zone, I can't be there all the time. You work under this temple president. And he's my representative. So if you please him, I'm pleased. So when we please the devotees by our attitude, by our devotional sentiments, that goes back to Krishna. Because Krishna said he is where his devotees are. Where his devotees are always conversing about him. Machit matkat prana bodhyantas parasparam katyantas samaplicham tasyanticha ramanticha. Krishna resides there where his devotees are constantly glorifying and worshipping him and enlightening and enlivening one another about him. So in that way, Krishna, when we're in that mood, when we're in that association, Krishna will reciprocate through the other devotees. Yeah, so we can always check with devotees. Prabhu, can I do my service properly? Can I improve on this and that? Or sometimes devotees come, oh, thank you for your service, etc. Out of nowhere. You know, it's not like you came and said, did you see what I did this morning? Did you see the fruits? Perfect square shapes. That was me. And it's not like you do that. But devotees will say, oh, towels are folded so nicely. Who did the website yesterday? You know, so Krishna reciprocates through the devotees. Okay, it's breakfast time. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.